Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders. You've done it all. You've walked the tightrope of success and accomplished so much in your career. Now what? How do you keep redefining your success and expanding your emotional well-being? Join us to hear talk on mindset, motivation, and your growth in handling the challenges you've experienced both in circumstances and with yourself as a leader. Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders with your host, Tracy Crossley.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders. And today I have with me another accomplished female leader. I have Bianca Leiter. Hey, Bianca.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. How are you doing?
I am well, thanks.
Awesome. Okay, so everybody, I want to tell you a little bit about Bianca, and then we will get started. So to begin with, let's see. Born in Trinidad, Bianca migrated to the United States at the age of 12. After years of doing hair for family members, she became a hairstylist and barber's apprentice, all at the tender age of 14. Wow. Bianca brings her Caribbean roots and American sense of style to each and every hair creation. She is the owner of New Horizons Hair by Bianca. Bianca's vast knowledge is evident in her work, which has been featured in numerous publications and trade journals. Bianca's passion and expertise in hair loss helps individuals heal and restore their self-esteem and self-confidence. She facilitated workshops for the American Cancer Society, was a board member for the Trichotillomania. How do you say that?
You said it correct. Trichotillomania.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is a hair pulling disorder. You got it. You nailed it.
Okay. Learning Center for BFRBS, which is body focused repetitive behaviors like hair pulling, skin picking, and nail biting disorders, and recently founded the Leiter Foundation to raise awareness in communities of color to redefine cultural barriers for individuals living with BFRBS through education, resources, information, and access. I love that, and I love your story. So tell me, when you were a little girl, you were in Trinidad, and how old were you when you came? You were at 12. Okay. What did you want to be when you grew up?
First of all, thank you for having me on this on your podcast.
Absolutely.
I actually did not know what I wanted to be, but the thing about it is the gift of doing hair, I did not recognize. Mm-hmm. So I actually shied away from it, even though I did it at a very young age. Mm-hmm. It's all I knew I grew up doing hair. Had lots of females in the family, so that's what I did. And part of that story is I actually used to get beatings. My grandmother, because she thought I was always playing lessons here, my hand, she would always say, get your hair. So that I grew up doing that, but without realizing it was a gift. It was a God-given gift that was not recognized at the time.
Wow. But she didn't like it. She thought you were playing.
Yeah. She thought I was just messing in everyone's hair all the time, consistently. But the flip side of that is my aunt, my mom's youngest sister, she had to do our hair to go to school for whatever we were doing, going out. And when she realized that, she recognized the skill. So she in turn started everyone's hair and then had me to do everyone's hair. So fast forward a little bit today, people ask me, well, how do you see the back of your hair when you do your hair for yourself? I had lots of practice when I was younger. I had to do everyone's hair before we went to school, including my own. And there was no one to help me. And on time to get out to be school on time, that's another spanking.
So, oh my God.
Timing.
Oh my God. Timing.
I was being trained without realizing I was being trained in a different way.
And so did you enjoy it though when you were doing it? I mean, was it enjoyable to you?
Yes, yes. I remember, I think I must have been about 5 years old, at least. And back home, the houses, we would go under the house and play. And I remember this memory is as if it was yesterday. I was sitting under the house and I had a doll and I was just sitting in a corner by myself, learning how to braid Everyone else is playing, but I'm sitting there with a doll learning how to braid. And I remember my first braid. That excitement at that age, without again understanding and realizing what was being birthed, I cannot explain that experience, but it was if it, the memory is so clear. I had to be at least 5, 6 years old.
Wow. That's pretty amazing, actually. Most of us at 5 or 6, I mean, I wanted to be a crossing guard at 5, you know? I liked the crossing guard at school, and I thought, this is a really cool job. You get to walk across the street, you know, and have kids, you know, crossing with you, literally at that age. I wasn't thinking like that, but that is pretty amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
So, you know, with that being said, growing up, and I started doing everyone's hair, but it was a hobby. It was something I really enjoyed doing. However, I never, ever wanted it to be my profession. As much as I enjoyed it,
yeah,
I never, ever wanted it to be my profession.
So how did I that happen? Totally...
Actually, I was, you know, I would do my sister's hair, and where my sister lived, there was a small beauty salon at the time. And the owner of that beauty salon would see my sister's hair. And he would constantly ask her, who did your hair? She would tell him, and he asked her to bring me to the salon. He wanted to speak to me. However, I was too young at the time. I was like around maybe 13, 14.
Right.
And he wanted me to come and start working. But my mom was not about to let me go work in a salon. This guy came to my mom's house and spoke to her. Yes.
Wow.
And I believe whatever he said, she felt comfortable enough. And I started working with him at 14. So that's my beginnings.
Wow. That's pretty impressive, though. I mean, how often does that ever happen? And a guy's going to come and you're here, you're only 14 years old. But did you? Okay. So at that time, how did that make you feel to be working in a salon doing hair, and here you are 14? Did that feel, you know, did you have the confidence? Did you feel good? Like, what did you feel?
I absolutely had no confidence. No. He helped me a great deal. And the one thing I have to say with this, his name was James Brown. Okay.
Okay.
That was his name, not the James Brown, but that happened to be his name. He really guided me and showed me a lot in the industry. And then where we were located, it was on 116th Street in Manhattan, in Harlem. And he took me to another location, which was like an elevation to another salon that had a barbershop and so forth. So again, I learned early to become a barber apprentice, because I learned under another master hairstylist, hair cutter. So I learned barbering early as well. So that helped me early in my years of being in the industry, not fully understanding it, but being in it, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, because that environment, I mean, there used to be, and I'm sure it's still for certain trades, like a trade that I was in, you had a 4-year apprenticeship and then you became a journeyman. And so you were really all about being in the environment, right? And understanding everything without going to school for it, in other words.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So with that, you stuck with it, obviously, once you became an adult, right?
Yes. I actually went to school. One of the things in the Manhattan area, I started out braiding here. So you did not need a cosmetologist license to braid here.
Okay.
That was considered at the time something you did. It was a natural gift in communities of color. That was natural. We did that naturally. So we did not need to go to school and learn how to braid here. However, when I went to work in Midtown Manhattan, you needed a cosmetology license. So I had to go to school. So again, the next step was going to school and obtaining my license. So I continued, but of course, along the way, I learned how to do other things after obtaining my license.
I see. So obviously your journey then led you, you know, to working. I'm sure that something must have happened, I'm guessing, in your life where people were showing up with hair loss, or what was it exactly that led you in that direction?
That actually evolved years later. The fact that I always worked with some type of hair extensions, mostly people wanting longer hair, fuller hair. So that evolved eventually into hair loss. Mm-hmm. As time went on and I started seeing people that were losing hair, regardless of the cause, but there was a need that had to be addressed. That catapulted me into hair loss, but then understanding the different types of hair loss. It was not just hair loss. One area that really, that I felt so passionate about, and I'm passionate about hair loss because it really affects and impacts the individual, their self-esteem, their self-confidence. You know, society says our hair is our crown and glory. Society says everything we see, it's about hair. So that is a major part. And it's the first thing people see when they look at us, right? It's our hair. When I started learning about a particular type of hair loss, which is trichotillomania, that really, I think that really resonated deeply in me, in my spirit, because what I learned about this particular disorder, it was self-inflicted. Unlike alopecias, other types of alopecias that's autoimmune, this is not autoimmune. Now, there's a caveat to that, because though it is self-inflicted, science has suggested it is also genetics.
Oh,
so if it's genetics, it to me, and this is my myopic mindset, not science, that if it's genetic, then it's not something that you can control.
Right, right.
So the self-infliction is triggered by something. Mm-hmm. So clients that I've worked with over the years that aren't aware of the science behind it, that brings on a lot of shame. They don't truly understand why they're doing it. I've had clients tell me they would rather have cancer than trichotillomania because that will justify their hair loss. Trichotillomania is not justifying. Why am I pulling? What's making me do this? But I just want to read something here because according to the APA, the American Psychiatric Association Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders, they classify these behaviors as mental health disorders. Now, there's a major disparity in communities of color where these having access to these and to the resources. Now, what they have also done is they have added a revised version in 2013 to recognize the impact of racism and discrimination on the diagnosis and the manifestation of mental health disorders. So we see that they had to input something in that manual that represents the sensitivity and the cultural differences regarding service in the mental health with people suffering with mental health. So that really catapulted me to work and study and understand these behaviors. A lot I have also educate clients that know anything about their behaviors.
So how do you do that? Do you educate them?
Number one, as I worked with one an organization, it's the only known organization that's in LA. It's called the TLC Foundation for BFRBs. And most of them had not heard of the organization, the conferences where they host conferences for anyone, individuals living with trichotillomania. Our clients were not aware of that. So I would educate my clients. One client made a comment when I asked her and I told her about the conference. And she said she does not want to be in a room with other people like herself. She felt like an alien and she did not want to be in that environment. So it just shows how deep rooted these behaviors affect and impact the individuals. Another thing is that most clients that I've worked with over the years, for the past 10, 15 years, they had never met anyone else. So that isolation process, they don't know anyone else that's suffering with this. So what I did with that was to host a meet and greet. So they got an opportunity to meet other people that's going through the same thing, that, you know, is traveling the same journey.
Right, right. I think that's great. I guess my question is more so about when you're doing someone's hair, obviously you see hair loss. Is it that you start asking them questions, or is it that they share what's going on with them? Like, how, that's what I mean. Like, how do you even get to the point where it's like, oh, this is what's going on with this person?
One of the, most of the people that come in, let me go back.
Okay.
My first interaction with someone with trichotillomania was approximately 25 years ago.
Okay. Wow.
However, 25 years ago, most people did not know what this was. There was a name was not attached to it. Mm-hmm. So no one knew. And this organization literally started about 25 years ago when I first met them. So at that time, there was no name attached to the disorder. No one was. The first young that came to me, and I always remember that, was about 25 years ago. And, you know, I advertised and she came seeking a solution. And when she removed her hat, she had no hair on her head, absolutely none.
Oh my God.
Now, in our consultation, I asked her what happened. And when she said she pulled it, in my mind, I'm saying, what do you mean? You know, I mean, I asked, what do you mean you pulled it? But also being cautious of not being offensive in the consultation as well. And when she said she pulled her hair, I had no clue what she was talking about. Absolutely not. That was 25 years prior to me knowing about this disorder. Mm-hmm. We were trained as cosmetologists, if someone comes in and their scalp looked diseased, to refer them to a dermatologist. So not having any knowledge of this, I recommended that she see a dermatologist. Mm-hmm. But fast forward 25 years later, learning about trich, mm-hmm. my mind always go back to that young lady I was unable to help. And I don't know if that also empowered me to really work more so with this community.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I'll go ahead.
So in my advertising, I advertise as a trich-friendly studio, as well as I was listed on the TLC providers listing on their website. So when people were searching, mm-hmm. or salons that, you know, knew about this, that's how they found me. Now, with that, when someone comes in, mm-hmm. their anxiety level is, Tracy, I can't begin to explain to you where the level of where their anxiety is at that time. So having a safe space is paramount. Mm-hmm. That when a client comes in, I'm able to diffuse that anxiety, literally diffuse it. So that's the first step. Mm-hmm. And I think what has helped clients quite a bit was finding someone that knew about their behaviors, someone that understood what they were dealing with. And then someone that was able to provide a solution without the questions that seemed derogatory to them in the process during the consultation.
So you've helped them by being able to understand them and bring their anxiety down. And how has that played out? Like, I'm trying to imagine, like, with their hair, how have you helped them to stimulate hair growth, or do you help them to style their hair? Like, what is it that you help them to do beyond, let's say, you know, the understanding and the anxiety?
We offer topical solutions. We do not do any invasive solutions. Mm-hmm. So everything are topical solutions. Now we can help a client sometimes with a haircut. And being able to do a haircut that it does not look like they pull their hair. Mm-hmm. Rather that you cut their hair in a style that will look like, well, they just had a haircut and it's blended in, because it creates bald spots.
Right.
So you're just blending everything in, but you have to know how to craft that cut so that that client will feel good about themselves. When we are not doing a haircut, then we can use different types of hair systems. It's a case by case scenario, depending on what their needs are at the time.
So do they just come to you for hair then after their initial appointment, or do they come back? Like, I know you started a foundation. So is it that you've started a group? Like, what, you had a meet and greet? Like, what, how does that all fit in?
Well, the foundation, which we recently, which was recently established last October, we are, again, the purpose is for communities of color, for lack of resources, not having accessibility, not having the information. So that's one of our main purpose of the foundation, is having that in the community. That because their statistics shows that at least 1% in the United States of people experience trichotillomania. That's what was so profound is that there is no data in the in communities of color. With that type of statistic, there is no data in communities of color. It doesn't mean that people don't suffer with that. It just means it's not reported. It's, it simply means that people don't have the access to the information,
right,
or the resources. The other, the flip side of that is healthcare providers. There's so many healthcare providers that are not aware of this behavior. There's so many healthcare providers that does not reflect the community. So where do you go? Now, what that, as far as the mental health issues are concerned, because this is all mental health issues that we are dealing with. And when we also get to understand, this is a social issue. It's a public health issue. Mm-hmm. It is not individualized and it is not localized. It is global. This is a global issue that we are working to bring information and the necessary resources. So with the foundation, we will be, we will have education for families, for the community, for healthcare providers, schools, because it's not just the individual, it's the whole family. Is the community, so that it's going to take everyone to help heal that one person. What I would like to share is family. Family should be the first line of support. And in so many cases that I hear over and over, families are the individuals, I want to say frenemy. Most people feel they cannot talk to their family members.
Right.
Because of the judgment. They think it's a habit, but it's not a habit, not understanding what these individuals are dealing with. It's a disorder. And they cannot just stop it. It's the reason individuals living with trichotillomania will not go to a salon, because they have literally, and the words they use is traumatized.
Right. Right.
That they have been traumatized when they go in, and the way they're treated or the environment that they're in, it hinders. So these are all the things that we offer. I do have a salon. So this is what we offer to clients, is that safe space and different options to help them. I would like to also say we have had good results. We have people here grew back from because they weren't able to get hold or pull their hair based on the type of solution that was done for them. So I'm so happy that we can say, yes, we've had, you know, results where hair has grown mm-hmm. back. But it's chronic. And right. it's something that you have to work with continually.
Right. So what would you say your greatest challenges are, you know, both with the foundation and obviously you're a leader in having your own salon and having started a foundation. So what are some of the challenges that you come across?
Right now, the biggest challenge is raising awareness in communities of color. Mm-hmm. The challenge is that in communities of color, it's taboo to talk about mental health. That has been a taboo subject. COVID has released, COVID has uncovered mm-hmm. so many people dealing with mental health that were not seeking help because they were embarrassed or the family felt ashamed. And one of the things with that is culturally, that seemed going to a psychiatrist or psychologist was not part of our DNA. Mm-hmm. It just was not. There were no resources mm-hmm. to support that. That was something, quote unquote, that was seen as something only white people do. So breaking these cultural barriers is imminent to people's health. So with that being said, that's the purpose of the foundation, is to raise awareness, to give people a safe space to know that there is help and it's okay to deal with mental issues without feeling ashamed, without the family being ashamed.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. So what can listeners do who might be interested in helping in some way?
We are establishing our website. Mm-hmm. Now, let me first say this. If someone is listening that is living with any type of BFRBs, they can contact us. I can give my phone number. Mm-hmm. The phone number to the salon is 917-209-5099. We are affiliated with other mental health care providers as well as facilities. Mm-hmm. That helps with the BFRBs, the body focused repetitive behaviors. So there is a provider that we can direct you to if that's needed. Of course, if you need services, we can also help you with that. And sometimes it might be just someone needing to talk. We do that. We do that. You know, the saying that your hairstylist and the bartender are the only two people that knows all about you. Very true. Okay. But also there's that confidentiality that goes along with it. That's very, very important. The confidentiality and someone knowing that. Because most of my clients, their families have no idea. No idea what their hair situation are like. I've worked with young people age 9 years old. Oh. Their moms, their parents could not come into the room while I was doing their hair.
Because they would stress the child out, I would
assume. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's about de-stressing and keeping that anxiety down as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see where you would need to do that. I think that's really hard when you have children, because you have the parents, right? And it's like, yep, they're not done growing up and they're with their families. And so it's mm-hmm. how you keep diffusing a situation that's probably provoking this disorder in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And the other, and as far as parents understanding what their children are dealing with.
Yeah.
Whether it's younger children or older children or siblings.
Right.
What they are going through, because I hear a lot and I have clients that will say, I wish you could speak to my parent. Mm-hmm. Or if there's a two-parent home, it's one parent that may understand more than the other parent. So they can, you know, sway who's the better parent, but educating families as well so right. that parents understand this is not just a habit. It is not something the individual can just stop. If it was, they would do it. But it's something that is triggered by mental health. And again, some families do not want to feel like, maybe, what have I done wrong?
Of course, they're going to personalize it. Yeah.
Many different layers to how this can be seen, or the perception of how, you know, individuals will look at this.
Right.
So again, education is the key. Education is the key factor.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I can see where that would have been an issue. I mean, you've presented all the obstacles to the issue. So absolutely. Before we go, is there anything else that you would like to share about you, about what you do, leadership in this country, as far as females go, like anything you want to share?
Follow your dream. Sometimes dreams may take 25 years to manifest, but follow it. Don't give up. I've learned in the process, failure is the biggest part of success. And there are times when I thought I had failed, and I had to realize that wasn't failure. That was my stepping stool to the next phase, because it taught me things I need to know. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the growing process. I was reading in, I believe, John Maxwell's book, intentionally fail so that you will learn something.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Intentionally fail so that you will learn something. So to any young person that's stepping out there, and what I've seen a lot in the industry and the way the industry is set up now, where you can have your own suite, no one wants to work for anyone, understanding the process of how that works. There is a business, and then there is a talent.
Right.
Sometimes you cannot do both.
That is true. You can stretch yourself real thin that way.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, you can. You cannot wear all the hats.
No. I've done it. I used to do it. I don't do that anymore. Yeah. Burn out.
Mm-hmm. We learn.
Oh, yes, we do. Well, Bianca, I have really enjoyed this conversation, because you've educated me. I had no idea, you know, that this was something affecting 1% of the population, and that, yes, you know, especially people of color. And I think that's super important for people to know, because the more we can educate everyone, something can be done, or people can help or step in and help. And other people who are listening, you know, who may be suffering from this too, like you said, I think it's great that you offered your phone number. Do you have a website, by the way?
Yes, we do. Our website is www.newhorizons.hairbybianca.co. Not co. And I would like to say we are in the process of building the website for the foundation. It's in its grassroots at this time. So we will have all that information with the phone number, the website for the foundation to follow. So anyone that wants to reach out, we need help. We're in the grassroots. We need help. So we're reaching out to healthcare providers, mental health, the other healthcare providers for the disorders. One of the things that there is no cure, it's not known what causes it. And the only treatment that is being used for BFRBs is CBT, cognitive behavior therapy. So that's one of the treatments as far as helping individuals with BFRBs.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I was thinking it had to be some form of a psychological process, psychological issue. So Bianca, I thank you so much for coming on today. I really, really, not only, like I said, learned a lot, but I've enjoyed listening to what you've had to say. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. All right, you guys, you heard it here. And if you have any questions, you have Bianca's information. And I'll be back next time with another wonderful female accomplished leader.
Thank you for joining today. For more information on Tracy and her programs, and to set up a discovery session, email business@tracycrossley.com. That's business at tracycrossley.com and go to tracycrossley.com to get your free download entitled Stop Your Inner Dictator. Thank you for tuning in to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders.